Turn back, if you would, to the book of Luke. We find ourselves in our week one. Last week, we were quite literally just laying down the foundations as an introduction, looking at those what, whys, and hows. But this morning, in some ways, is very similar. In the sense that we're not going to get quite into the narrative, but there's certain things that Luke lays down for us that are important for us to understand as we go into this amazing gospel together. An interesting statistic in recent studies suggests that somewhere in the region of 84% of the world's population is religious in some way. It's quite a big number, that, really. I'm not sure exactly how the studies were undertaken. But if they are correct, it equates to somewhere in the region of 8 out of 10 people have some form of religion. Now, that being said, if the population of this world is somewhere around the region of 7.8 billion, as it is just went up again, a couple of hundred. We're actually talking about somewhere about 6.52 billion people who profess some religious form in some way. Now, most religions talk about a God. They talk about good and bad, kindness, love, and forgiveness. Many of them actually also use Bible verses to justify some of their traditions or their beliefs. Many of them even speak about Jesus, the prophet. Each religion features some belief or creed or code or constitution. Each one of their religious rituals, and each one of them claim to be right. Many of these religions have a large number of followers, and they appear to be really making a mark in the world. In one sense, it doesn't surprise us that religion is flourishing, because the Apostle Paul said these words, recorded for us in 2 Corinthians. He said this, that Satan does his best work in religion when masquerading as servants of righteousness. And it's true. The enemy uses religion to prevent people from seeing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is the case, what are we to do in this world that we're being called to be witnessing? How do we combat this? How do we cope? How do we remain stable on the truth of what we know? I say that because I'm convinced that there's nothing that Satan loves more than when God's people lack a good, sound, biblical knowledge. Satan knows that if he can keep God's people in ignorance, he can keep them weak. I'm reminded that was one of the first tactics of Satan. You know, when he spoke to Eve, remember all the way back in Genesis what he said to her? Did God really say? Bringing doubt into her mind about the truth of what God had declared. And you know, he does exactly the same today. Stability, usability, strength, and power come from a full and a precise level knowledge of biblical truth. The more we study God's word and know God's word, the stronger we become in our faith, and the stronger we find it to stand for truth in a day, in a generation where there is so much untruth. If ever there was an introduction to a book in the Bible that presents the importance of clear and precise understanding of the scriptures, it is the book of Luke. Luke was well aware of religion and religious notions in his day. There were so many other ideas that were floating around. He also knew the danger of ignorance when it comes to a relationship with God. And so he specifically goes to great lengths and trouble to see that the people had an accurate understanding, an accurate knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time that Luke was writing, there were many different stories floating around. A man who was very special to Luke was this man called Theophilus. He'd been hearing some of these stories. He was maybe confused as to what he believed. And Luke wanted him stable in his faith. So he carefully researched and he wrote these 24 chapters, this accurate historical account known as the Gospel of Luke. And all of it was to make sure that Theophilus and we had a correct understanding about Jesus. Folks, it is all about him. Now, when Theophilus would have opened the scroll and started reading the opening verses, the thing that would have stood out to him is very simply something like this. He would have been aware of the importance of knowing the truth about what you have been taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this Gospel of Luke has been carefully and systematically compiled by careful research and investigation to produce the truth about Jesus. Do you know, this is what separates truth from religion. Religion has a real interest on how you feel, you know. It wants to make sure that you feel good about yourself, good about your life. Whereas real faith is interested in what you believe and know to be true concerning the Lord Jesus. And so with all that said, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, to give us understanding this morning. Father, we praise and thank you again this day that we've been able to worship you in song. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you now, Lord, as we gather around your precious word. Father, we praise and thank you that you have saved us by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A faith that comes through hearing the word of God. And as we hear your word this day, help us, Father, to grow in faith, we ask. Help us to mature in our understanding of truth so that we would learn more and know more about Jesus. Father, may the words I would speak, may the meditation of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight, our Lord, Redeemer, and our God. Amen. And amen. As we discovered last time in our introduction to Luke, Luke was a medical doctor. He was not so much interested in stories, in as much as he was interested in truth. He was not given to religious hyperbole or theories. He was after truth. He was after facts. And that is what he wanted Theophilus to know. He wanted to know the truth about God. And I actually personally know that Jesus wants us to know the truth about him as well. The more precise we have of an understanding of God's word, the more stable and the more mature we are in our faith. You know, the sad tragedy is that many, many people today own Bibles, but very, very few open their Bibles and have a grasp on the truth of his word. The result of this is that it has produced stunted growth, or at best, or at worst, a biblical illiteracy amongst God's believers, God's people. You know, after many, many years in ministry, over 31, 26 of them actually in pastorate, one of the things or two things which I've discovered are the biggest issues in people's lives, the biggest things that draw them into the pastor's counseling room, one is their conversion experience. They're troubled with a lack of assurance. And the second thing is a lack of understanding of God's word. Luke did not want that for Theophilus, and he doesn't want it for us either. And in many ways, that's what motivated Dr. Luke to research and to write. This is evident in his opening remarks there. Look there back at verse 1 if you can. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us. When you read that particular verse, it is clear that many historians, there was others, not just him, but there have been others who tried to compile and put together an accurate account about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that word account is a very, very rare Greek word that he uses there that refers to a narrative account about an individual or a situation. It is obvious that Luke was not satisfied with the work that others had been doing. Apparently, Luke saw the weaknesses in their work, and so he decided to research and put together his own systematic work in written form. He was, in many ways, partly driven to do this because of the fact that he was not satisfied with what he was seeing or reading. Although the greater force behind it, you and I know, was the power of the Holy Spirit driving him. Encourage him to research, encouraging him to write these things down. It was the Spirit of God that was prompting him, urging him to do this thing. This is the inspired word of God. And God used faithful servants to write his word and to drive the truth home. We know from history and from the scriptures as well that Luke was a good friend of Paul. He spent many, many hours with him. And Paul had this exact same drive in him. 1 Corinthians 8, it says that those who think you know something do not yet know what you ought to know. In other words, Paul knew that we only knew in part and we needed to continue always to push forward. Pastor, I'm sure you'll agree that you don't know everything yet.
Not quite.
There's one particular pastor whose wife, Dr. Sugden was his name, came to him and said, "Howard, how is it that you've been in ministry for 50 years now? I'm but a boy compared to him. 50 years, and you still spend 30 hours in your study every week." Suzanne often says the same thing to me. Dr. Sugden looked at his wife and says, "Because of how little I know, and I'm ashamed of how ignorant I am of the Bible." He was always after precise knowledge. So was Paul. So was the doctor Luke. Luke was not satisfied with what he was seeing. And so he decided to tackle this project himself. Folks, the more precise and the more accurate we are in our understanding of God's word, the more we will know and the more we will grow and the more stable we will be as believers. Spiritual growth does not occur by stories. It occurs through an accurate understanding of God's word. Secondly, Luke wrote because of the instruction that he himself had received. Verse 2, it says this, "Just as they were handed down to us by those who were first the eyewitnesses and servants of the word of God." Two primary ways to communicate this was through verbal communication and also through written communication. Both Luke and Theophilus had been exposed to these both instructions. But now this verse makes it clear that Luke himself was not an eyewitness of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had been personally taught by those who were eyewitnesses to these things. There's a very important point to see in this verse. The truth is established by credible witnesses. Luke had been taught by eyewitnesses and servants of the word of God. That word servants there is a very, very interesting word that Luke actually uses. I told you last week, did I not, that when pastors study the book of Luke, they have to get their lexicon off all the time because of his brilliant use of the Greek. And that word again, servant, that he used there is a very, very interesting word. It actually refers to the responsibility of somebody who is rowing a boat, driving that boat forward. And Luke uses this analogy, because what he's saying is this, is there were servants of God, of the word of God, who were driving forth the word of God, and they taught me. Luke had been personally taught by these eyewitnesses, these servants who had been chosen by God to keep truth moving forward. It was their responsibility to accurately proclaim the truth. And you know what? That's exactly what they did. Luke had never seen Jesus Christ, and therefore, if you were to write on the life of Jesus Christ, he had to rely upon those who had a personal encounter with Jesus. Luke makes it clear that these faithful people had handed down the truth down to him. And it's obvious that as a result, God had changed their lives. It was a precise knowledge of truth handed down to him that impacted him as well. And so what we learn here is that before Luke became a skilled teacher, he first of all himself had to be a student. Those who become powerful teachers of God, first of all, need to be dedicated students of the Word of God. That's you and I, folks. God has given us gifts to the church, and one of those gifts that he's given is the gift of teaching. In order that we may grow to become strong in our faith, and we need to be under accurate teaching from an accurate teacher. And to be an accurate teacher, skilled teacher, it requires that you learn from those who accurately teach the Word of God. One of the things that has arisen in recent years and conversation that I'm having with somebody at the moment about the state of evangelicalism within the world and maybe even within the UK, but certainly in other countries as well, is that for years and years and years, and I mean years, I'm talking 30, 40, even 50 years, 60, 70, going back into the 1940s, how many years is that? You do the maths? 70. One of the things that has been taught in our Bible colleges is higher criticism. And higher criticism just basically says, is see the Word of God, you don't have to believe it all. You can take the bits out that you don't fully understand, and you can take them out, but let's unite on the bits that we can. And after generation of pastors who have been taught not to have confidence in the Word of God, what we've produced is a church that doesn't have confidence in the Word of God anymore. Luke, who was a medical doctor, realized his need to learn truth. And he submitted himself to those eyewitnesses who had been entrusted to communicate it. Folks, we need to have teachable spirits. One of the worst things that I have in a congregation, in a community of God's people, is individuals who refuse to be taught because they know it all. We're doing a series in Romans not that long ago, a couple of years ago, and I was trying to explain to somebody, and they said, oh, don't worry, I know Romans, it's okay. And I thought, wow, I've been studying Romans for years and I don't know Romans yet. Folks, we need to be teachable. And the doctor certainly was. Thirdly, Luke wrote because of the research he had done. Verse 3, look what it says there. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write it, an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Can I just say here that I actually believe that Luke is a real gentleman? What he doesn't say is maybe what some of us would say. I've read all the stuff and it's absolute rubbish. It's lacking in so many areas. No, he doesn't say that. What he says is, listen, I've taken it upon myself to to research and to write it all down. He simply says, it seems fitting to me, good to me to do this. What Luke will do differently is write a continual account concerning the life of the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning right the way through. That's what he says there. Luke truly believed that spiritual stability comes from learning God's word in a systematic, organized way. True learning comes by carefully observing facts. Several facts that Luke actually draws out for us here. Firstly, there is Luke's research was careful in his investigation of it. He traveled to various places. He spoke to various people. He didn't just listen to other accounts, as some commentators have suggested. No, he went and investigated it himself. You know, I believe what Luke is saying here because of certain things he uses in his gospel, which we'll discover as we go along. But just turn over the page to Luke 2 and verse 19. Look what it says there. I love this phrase. I've always been amazed by this phrase. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what these things... Sorry, I'm in the wrong one. Go into 2, not 1, Philip. So 2 and verse 19, it says this. From verse 16, so they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying there in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told him about the child, and all this they heard were amazed at the shepherds, what they'd said to him. But Mary treasured, or Mary pondered on these things in her heart. She treasured up these things and pondered them in their heart. How would Luke know that unless he went and spoke to Mary about it? Can you see? There are certain things that Luke brings out which evidence the fact that he spent time talking to these first-hand eyewitnesses of the truth. He did it from the beginning. That phrase there that he is used there, this adverb, which means that Luke was doing fresh research from the first point to beginning in his research. In other words, he wasn't going and listening to others. He was doing it all himself. And maybe I'm laboring some of these points this morning purposely. And it's purposely labored because of this. That is what is needed for God's people to grow and become strong and stable in their faith. The more precise you and I know, the more you and I study the Word of God, the more stable we are in our faith. If we are to grow and to become strong and stable in this day, in our generation, where we need to stand on the truth of the Word of God, if we're going to stand, we need to know it. And for us to know it, we need to study it precisely. Luke's research was also carefully written down. I can understand that, really. There's nothing worse than just actually studying and then not having anything to actually show for it. Luke researched, and as he researched, he wrote. It's hard work to research. It's hard work to think, and it's hard work to write. But the doctor was gifted with that ability, and God knew that, and that's why he chose him. The ability to carefully write things down and the ability to do it precisely and to think precisely is a real gift. But when you put these things into writing, it can be analyzed. It can be carefully checked. It can be cross-referenced. The stuff that you've said can be viewed. And that is what Luke did in his gospel. Several years ago, when I was at Bible college myself and I was taught homiletics, we were made to write out our sermons in their entirety. The entire exposition, including the introduction, illustrations, applications, and even the conclusion as well, word for word, every I dotted and T. And I found that really, really difficult because I actually couldn't read my handwriting after I'd read it. So I was so grateful when I finally got a computer. But we were encouraged to do that. Some of my fellow students actually said, you know what, I really know what I want to say, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to write it. Have you ever had that experience yourself? And I used to say to them, well, therefore, you actually don't know what you know then. Because if you've researched it and you know something, you won't find it that difficult to write it down. Because you know it. Luke did that. He had the ability to carefully write down. And that actually requires the ability to precisely think. Sometimes we don't spend time reasoning things with God and seeing that these things are true. And thirdly, in this final section, in this third section, Luke's research was carefully organized as well. Look what it says there in that last part of verse 3. I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. It seemed good for me to write them in an orderly account for you. Luke put out his work in an orderly account. And what that means is that he researched the information pertaining to the life of the and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he organized it in a chronological successive way so folks could understand. Luke's approach clearly corresponds with what the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 28 and verse 9 that says, God teaches knowledge to those who carefully study his word, order on order, line on line, and they do it. The work is done little by little. Folks, it's not a sprint we're in, it's a marathon. It's an ongoing walk with him. We're never ever finished knowing truth. We just continue to learn more. It also corresponds with what Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy, in which Paul challenged Timothy to give careful attention to the reading and to the teaching of Scripture. Luke was a great example of one of those who applied what he actually said. And finally, as we close this morning, Luke wrote to Theophilus so that he could know truth. Excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. You know, it's an interesting thing that we don't fully know who Theophilus was. There are many suggestions who he might have been. There's at least seven different suggestions that I discovered in my research. Some of them from the defense lawyer for Paul. Have you ever heard that one? I've heard that one. He wrote an accurate sort of an account in Luke and in Acts as well for Paul's defense in Rome. Others have suggested as well that he was possibly a high-ranking Roman official, or that he was the part of the high priestly family, a man called Theophilus ben Annas, which was the son of Annas, the high priest, and therefore the brother-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest who presided over the mock trial when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. There are several possibilities of who it might have been. In one sense, that's not the issue. What we do know is that this man was a prominent individual in the early church. We know that he was someone special to Luke. Luke researched and he wrote it all, both Luke and Acts, in order for Theophilus to know the truth. That word's most excellent is an indication that Theophilus was someone who was held in high esteem. He had an important office, public office in some way. Just again, just to add a bit of history or speculation in one sense to it as well. Others have suggested that Theophilus was a man who paid for Luke to spend time doing this research. Again, we're not sure, but I just throw that out to us just this morning. But what we do know is that he was just an ordinary man. But he was an ordinary man who was extraordinary in his desire to know the truth. Note what it says there in verse 4, why Luke wrote to him, so that he might know the exact truth about the things he had been taught. Again, that verb know that Luke uses there speaks of a writing so someone can have a full level of knowledge. The interesting thing about the word taught is that in the Greek word, it's where we get that English word catechism from. I remember something that you did with the young people a little while ago, didn't you? You taught them catechisms in order to help them to understand biblical truth. This, and as a result, this. And that's the phrase, that's the word that Luke uses here. The reason for knowing the facts about Jesus Christ is so that they may know exact truth about Jesus. Theophilus was someone who needed some systematic reassurance that things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ were true. And folks, so do you and I. And for that, if not anything else, I'm looking forward to getting into the narrative. Now, I've got to say, Simon's going to open the narrative up for us next week. So I won't say, bring your sandwiches. No, I won't say that. That's his mother's phrase, so I wouldn't dare to say that. But what I'm saying is we're going to get into the narrative. We're going to get into the story next week as Luke sees it, as he's been divinely inspired to write it. But these foundational things are important for us as we approach the book so that it gives us confidence. Well, was it really? Yes, it was really true. We can have confidence in God's word, in what he has allowed to be written. And we can stand on it. Trent Butler, in his commentary of Luke, he says this, "Today we are Theophiluses, for whom the gospel is written, so that we can have that same confidence that Theophilus had, to stand and to deliver the truth to others." Luke was not motivated for money, for fame, or because he could go on some scholarly lecture circuit, you know, telling everybody about his research. As we discovered last week, he didn't even put his name on the gospel because he didn't want attention drawn to himself. He wanted all the attention and all the glory given to Jesus. But what he did want is he wanted people to be taught accurately the word of God. Luke knew that the greatest enemy of spiritual growth is ignorance. There are 6.552 reoccurring billion religious people in this world, and very few of them are serious about understanding God's word, and it should break our heart. Because there are many millions, nay billions, who are going to a lost eternity. Blinded by the lies of the enemy. There are very few who actually want to know the truth, want to know facts. The whole goal of knowing facts is to know truth so that we can defend truth and share the truth of all that Jesus has done. Of all the facts to know, the most critical is the truth and the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Luke wrote all about Jesus. Folks, you never ever want to be confused about him. You never ever want to be confused about the things that he taught. Because he is the only one that can save you. He is the only one that can grant you forgiveness. He is the only one that can give you a relationship with an almighty holy God. And to fail in our understanding of him, to fail in our understanding of what he has done, to fail in our communication of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to others, leads them to an instability. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. There is no other way by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus. Praise God that the Spirit of God inspired Luke to write a book about Jesus accurately so that we can know him even this day. So let me ask as we close this morning, do you know him? Do you? Praise God if you do. But if you don't go from this place this morning without coming and spending some time so I can tell you more about Jesus, more about what he's done for you. But if you do know him, don't be satisfied with what you know, but desire to know more, more and more about him, so that you, in the days in which we live in, where there is so much uncertainty, so much instability, so much, can I really believe that? Can I really step out? You will be so secure in what you believe. And so when the storms of life come, remember that parable that Jesus taught about the two builders, the foolish one and the wise one? There's many similarities about those stories. And the story and the similarities is this, is that the storms of life came. And the storms of life come to us. But if our life is built on sandy ground, if our life is built on things which are uncertain, do you know what? It will all come down. But if our lives are built on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the truth of his word, when the storms of life come, we will stand firm. Do you know him? Do you want to know more of him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's do it together as a church this year to the praise and glory of his name. Amen.